Take your Bibles, please, and let's open. We'll switch gears today from our study in Matthew, in Ephesians, and read a few verses from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. The first 17 verses here of Matthew, we find the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And beginning with verse 18, I want to read here. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed," that is, that word means engaged, "to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man," or a righteous man, "and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' And all this was done so that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a virgin will be with child and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,'" which is translated "God with us." "And then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife Mary, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Israel was a special nation, a nation of God. This nation began with the faith of one man. And you think back into the Old Testament, it began with the faith of Abraham, who believed the word of God and the promise of God when God spoke to him one day in the place where he lived. And he says, "Oh, leave your family and leave the country where you live and move to a new country that I will give you. I will give you a land." And Genesis 12:3 says that Abraham believed God and Abraham obeyed God. And the result is that he moved to a place that we now call Israel, both physically as a land, as a piece of property, and secondly, God promised that from you, Abraham, will come a special blessing. One will come that will bless many nations in the world, and that man, of course, and that blessing was Jesus Christ. And the blessing that God talked to Abraham about was the blessing of our redemption, which is what we celebrate during the time of this week and in December, as the whole world celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ. Many of us sometimes, as we read Scripture, find certain parts of Scripture very difficult to understand, because many parts of Scripture are supernatural. They cannot be explained, and they cannot be understood by the human mind. Remember in Acts chapter 8, Philip, the Holy Spirit takes him down into the desert and he meets the Ethiopian there, riding in his chariot, reading the prophet Isaiah. And remember the question. The question is, do you understand what you are reading? And of course the man says, "I don't." And so what does Philip do? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he explains the prophecy. The man has faith. He believes, and he gives a testimony by getting baptized of his faith. In some ways, we know this passage. Those of us that grew up in the church, we probably have read it many, many times. At least once a year, hopefully. You read it yourself or you hear it read. And yet, for us and for the world around us, it is a difficult passage to believe. Because how many of us have met a young lady that became pregnant through the work of the Holy Spirit? And then an angel would appear and say that this is the plan of God, and this is the prophecies in the Old Testament are being fulfilled in you. If you think it is difficult for us to understand passages in Scripture, that for 2,000 years the church pastors and commentators and teachers have been explaining to believers, even as we do on a weekly basis to you, can you imagine how difficult it may have been for Joseph and Mary to believe what is happening to them? Can you imagine how difficult it may have been for Abraham when he heard the voice of God? He had no doubt that it was the voice of God. I don't know what the voice of God sounded like to Abraham when God spoke to him. But he heard the voice and he believed that voice. And it was a voice that was different than any other voice that Abraham ever heard. And so Abraham sets out on his journey and he gets into the promised land and God is blessing him. And eventually, through a couple of mistakes, but later on, eventually he has a son, Isaac, the son of promise. And then he hears the same voice. And you can imagine how difficult it was for Abraham to believe. God says, take your son, your only son, your son of promise, the son that I gave you in your old age. And don't tell Sarah, but go up on a mountain and sacrifice him to me. Abraham, where is your heart? Do you love me with your whole heart and with your whole mind, with your whole life and with all your strength and with all your energy? Can you imagine how difficult it was in the Old Testament before they had the written word of God? Abraham did not have the Bible. All he had was this voice that he heard. And yet he believed it. You can imagine the difficulty of this young Jewish couple, Joseph and Mary. In Isaiah chapter 4, when God prophetically speaks about the Messiah coming, Isaiah says, the words of the Lord, comfort my people. And then later on there in verse 5, it says, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Уста Господне изрекли. In our passage here, we find that God is speaking to Joseph and Mary a number of times through an angel. And we read that Joseph obeys the voice and the command of the angel. He believed. He believed this amazing supernatural story that was happening to him. You know, America has been called, and I use this in quotes, a Christian nation. Even though throughout America's history, probably the majority of people have lived a godless life, a faithless life. And most people today do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. They will simply celebrate his birthday as a man that lived and died, but there's no faith there that he actually rose again. Israel faced a similar problem. They had many prophecies in the Old Testament. Today, I just want to stop on verse 18, and maybe later this week we'll have an opportunity to get on into the prophecy in verse 23, where Isaiah had prophesied under the influence of the Holy Spirit that what was happening to Mary would in fact happen. Something that never happened in history before would happen. A girl that had never been with a man before would become pregnant and would become the mother of the Messiah that had been promised way back, beginning in Genesis chapter 3, when God told Eve, from your seed will come the one that will crush the head of Satan. Israel had scripture. Israel had the word of God. Israel had the prophecies that God had promised them. And if you read Jewish literature today, you find that at the time of Jesus, when Jesus was born, the nation as a whole believed the Old Testament prophecies that a Messiah would come. They had a wrong understanding of what his mission and his ministry would be, but they believed that he would come. The prophet Daniel had predicted the time when Jesus would be born. Micah and some of the other prophets predicted the place where Jesus would be born, Bethlehem. There's all of these Old Testament prophecies that Jews believed. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, David wants to build the temple where they would worship God. And God, through Nathan, tells David, you will not build me a house. Instead, I will build you up. I will raise you up. I will make you famous. Your house, your seed, those that come from you will sit on the throne forever and ever and ever, and your kingdom will never end. And the Jews believed this, and they believed that from the house of David would come the Messiah. And every young Jewish girl and every young married woman in Israel had a hope deep down in her heart that maybe she would become the mother of the Messiah, not realizing that he was to be God incarnate, God in the flesh. You see, they thought of him as a physical man who would come. But because of this, we have the genealogy here that Matthew gives us in the first 17 verses. You say, why do we need all of these names here of who came from who and whose son was who? Because in the Old Testament, according to the law, there were several requirements for Jewish men to be able to prove their ancestry. For example, to be able to go and worship in the temple, you had to be a Jew. You couldn't go into the temple if you were not Jewish. Paul, in the New Testament, we read in Acts, he was arrested because somebody thought that he had taken some Gentiles into the temple. You remember there was a riot there in Jerusalem because of that. Secondly, if you were a Gentile, you could not enter into the temple to worship. You could become a Jew, you could get circumcised, you could get baptized, you could believe, but you only could worship in the outer courts that were called in the times of Jesus the court of the Gentiles. And so that was one reason for genealogies. You could prove your ancestry. Secondly, if you remember Aaron, who was the brother of Moses, he was the first high priest in Israel. And you remember the high priest, among the duties that he had, the most important one was on the day of Yom Kippur, on the day of atonement, when he could take the blood of the sacrifice and take it into the Holy of Holies inside the temple. Nobody could go in there except the high priest. And only after he had made sacrifice for himself first. And to be the high priest, you had to prove that you were from the lineage or from the house or that you were an ancestor of Aaron. And so because of this, genealogies were very important. You couldn't just say, I came from the family of the high priest, and so I want to be the high priest. You see, there was a law that had been established. But most importantly, this prophecy in 2 Samuel chapter 12, go home and read it today and we'll talk about it another time. But the promise was given to David that from his house, from his seed would come the Messiah. And so from the tribe of Judah, each family, especially the family of David, they kept careful records about their children and grandchildren. And so part of this genealogy proves, from a historical perspective, that Jesus Christ, not only because he was God and because he came down from heaven as our Redeemer and Messiah, but Jesus Christ, historically and through the genealogy that we have here in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, go home and read them, they prove that Jesus had the royal and had the authority. He had the blood to sit on the throne of David. And had Israel had their own kingdom at the time, had they accepted Jesus Christ, which they had rejected, Jesus Christ would have been the king that sat on the throne, the house of David, and would have ruled over the nation Israel. That prophecy was made in the Old Testament, and God will fulfill it when Jesus Christ comes back to earth in glory. He will in fact sit. He will establish his kingdom in Jerusalem, and he will reign over Israel and over the whole world for 1,000 years. That's in the future. We have the promise of God. We have the word of God that we as Christians, we as his bride, we as the church of Jesus Christ, we will be there. We will experience this. And this is the background of the genealogy that proves the royalty of Jesus Christ. Although there's some difficulties in the genealogies, when you compare them, there are answers that have been explained, and we'll get into them as follows. And so I'll just leave one thought with you here, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus occurred. you know, society has its stories about where Jesus came from and who his parents were, whether, you know, they think Joseph was his father or maybe somebody else. Scripture teaches us this was in fact a miracle. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The birth of Jesus happened like this. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. That is a prophecy, verse 23, that goes back to Isaiah many hundreds of years before Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to our hearts as we meditate on it this week. Amen.